We are gathered here in vigil and prayer. This is the Passover of the Lord, in which by hearing his word, celebrating his sacraments, we share in his victory over death. Let us pray. O God, you are like a refiner's fire, and your spirit enkindles the hearts of your faithful people with the fire of your love. Bless, we implore you, this new flame, and those who keep this joyful Easter festival, that burning with desire for life with you, we may be found rightly prepared to share in the feast of life, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Christ, yesterday and today, the Alpha and the Omega, is for all times, is for all seasons. To him belongs glory and power through all the ages of eternity. Amen. By his holy and glorious wounds, may Christ our Lord guard us and preserve us. Amen.
The light of Christ, thanks be to God.
Son of righteousness has dawned upon us, who have sat in darkness in the shadow of death. The creation, Genesis chapter 1, a reading from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that it was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruits bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the great light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us stand and pray. Almighty God, through your word and spirit, you have wonderfully created all things. And through your word made flesh, you brought new life to fallen humanity. Grant that in your mercy we may be conformed to the image of him who shares fully in our humanity, even Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
A reading from Genesis, chapters 7, 8, and 9. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, all male and his mate, and a pair of animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, 2 and 2 of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut them in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro from waters were dried up from the earth, and then he sent forth a dove from it to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him. And to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the doves out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the 1st month, the 1st day of the month, the waters were drying off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the 2nd month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us stand and pray. O Lord, you kill and you raise to life. You brought the flood upon a wicked and perverse generation, and yet you saved faithful Noah and his family in the ark. Keep us in safety in the ark of Christ's body, the Church, that your mercy may come to us in its fullness, and your salvation reach to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from Exodus, chapters 14 and 15. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we have said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you then have only to be silent. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go forth in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was a cloud in the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea a dry land, and the waters were divided. The people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning, watched the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud look down on the Egyptian force, on the Egyptian forces, and threw the Egyptian horses into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled into it. The Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the hosts of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained, but But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people greeted the Lord, and they feared, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
We will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him and have a my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Let us stand and pray. O God, you once delivered your people from bondage under Pharaoh, and led them by a pillar of cloud and fire through the sea to safety. Grant that we may so follow Christ, that through the waters of baptism we may daily die and rise with him, and walk in safety through the wilderness of this life, until we see your salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
On this holiest of nights, the whole Church of our Lord Jesus Christ recalls his death and burial, rejoicing with great joy in the gospel of his glorious and mighty resurrection from the dead. The Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea. Yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, You sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold us all according to your boundless mercy, and bless us with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all sin in us, which has been inherited from Adam, and which we ourselves have committed sins, would be drowned and die. Grant that we be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, we would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now that Lent is over, I ask you to join in the promises made in holy baptism, in which we renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways, and promise to serve God faithfully in his holy church. Do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
You believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting.
Amen.
Good.
good Lord.
We poor sinners do beseech thee
to hear us, O Lord God,
and to rule and govern thy holy Christian Church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of thy Church in the true knowledge and understanding of thy word, and in holiness of life, to put an end to all systems and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all such as the verdict or the sea, to be God's safe under our feet, to send faithful laborers into thy harvest, to accompany thy word with thy spirit and grace, to raise up them that fall, and to strengthen such as do stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and God is distressed.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord,
to give to all nations peace and concord, to preserve our country from discord and contention, to give to our nation perpetual victory over all its enemies, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, and to bless and keep our magistrates and all our people.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
Behold and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect all who travel, to preserve all women in the perils of childbirth, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to set free all who are innocently imprisoned, to defend and provide for all fatherless children and widows, and to have mercy upon all men.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and return their hearts. To give and preserve for our use the fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world,
have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world,
grant us thy peace.
O Christ,
hear thou us.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ,
have mercy upon us.
Lord God, heavenly King, our
The epistle is written in the third chapter of the epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians, beginning at the first verse. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Here endeth the epistle.
Behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Lo, I have told you. This is the gospel of the Lord. St. John tells us that Mary, supposing him to be the gardener, says, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Then the risen Lord Jesus addresses her by name, Mary. And with that, Mary recognizes him, the risen Lord. And so we see that the fall of the human race took place in a garden, bringing sorrow and death to God's good creation. And the deliverance of the human race from that terrible bondage also took place in a garden. I love the memorable words of G.K. Chesterton, and this is what he said. On the third day, the friends of Christ, coming at daybreak to the place, found the grave empty and the stone rolled away. In varying ways, they realized but even they hardly realized that the world had died in the night. What they were looking at was the first day of a new creation, with a new heaven and a new earth. And in the semblance of a gardener, God walked again in the garden, in the cool, not of the evening, but of the dawn. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the beginning, it is the first fruits of that new creation, where there is neither death, nor sorrow, nor sighing, nor pain, but the fullness of joy with all saints, in that heavenly city which has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it. For the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Whenever Easter comes around, I almost always find myself remembering some words of a distinguished German Lutheran theologian, Walter Kinnett, who just a few years after the end of the Second World War
had this to say in the preface to the new edition of his remarkable study, The Theology of the Resurrection. Dr. Kinnon writes, "The course of history, as it has so terribly disclosed itself to us, can only be a confirmation of the Christian insight that all mankind is trembling on the brink of destruction and groaning under the tyranny of death. In this dark night of the world, there is only one single source of light, the joyful news, Christ is risen." At this Easter of the year 2020, these words speak to us in an especially compelling way. We are confronted with the mortality of the whole fallen human race. We face the reality that we live in a dying world. Reality we so love to ignore and escape. But be all that as it may, it is still wonderfully and joyfully true that in this dark night of the world, there is only one single source of light, the joyful news, Christ is risen. So let us then, one and all, rejoice in the risen Lord above, remembering the words of St. Paul, "As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And let us hear the memorable words attributed to St. John Chrysostom. St. Chrysostom said to his congregation, "Enter now, all of you, into the joy of our Lord. Let no one lament his poverty, for the universal kingdom is gone. Let no one grieve over his transgression, for pardon has dawned from the tomb. Let none fear death, for the Savior's death has set us free. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Christ is risen, and you are overthrown. Christ is risen, and the demons are fallen. Christ is risen, and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and life reigns. Christ is risen, and there is none dead in the tomb. For Christ, being raised from the dead, has become the first fruits of them that slept. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And now let us exchange the Easter greeting, "Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah." Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Forgive us our trespasses,
Of all people, the Thank you.